Now, I do want to get into what still remains, I suppose, a deeply personal topic, a political topic, and for many a deeply troubling topic as well. I mean, 7 years on from the referendum in 2018, new figures show that 10,852 abortions were carried out in the Republic of Ireland in 2024, the highest number recorded since abortion was legalised. Across the UK, the numbers are even more staggering, almost 300,000 in 2023, an all-time high. And buried within those statistics, by the way, there are individual figures in the United Kingdom. I don't happen to have the figures for Ireland, but maybe our guests may, which comes on. 3,205 abortions in the UK were disability selective, i.e., the mother and father, they find out that the baby in their womb has a disability, and they decide to terminate the pregnancy. 735 babies with Down syndrome were aborted in the UK. 40 babies were aborted with a cleft lip or cleft palate. And these numbers raise serious and emotional questions about how Ireland approaches life, choices, and compassion, I suppose, as well. Now, I want to hear from you. And the question is, if the referendum on the Eighth Amendment were held again tomorrow, knowing what you know now, how would you vote? Would you vote the same way? Because at the time we were told there was over 3,400 people were accessing abortion through the United Kingdom. Now, we had no indication, no idea, and many might have been buying pills online. That was just a guess, I suppose. When I say pills, the abortion pills that you can buy online. But we knew that 3,500, and we were told, well, if you vote for this, that number won't change. Well, it seems to have changed radically. In the multiples of three at this stage now are over that. Because it's now become a choice. And by the way, that's what a lot of people wanted. They wanted it to be a choice. They said, if you remember, pro-choice was the name of the movement behind it. And they wanted it to be a choice for women. What was the slogan? My body, my choice. But it's a difficult conversation. But one that needs to be had. And the question I'm asking you is, if there was a referendum again tomorrow on reinstating the Eighth Amendment and the life of the unborn child, would you vote yes or no? We've got 67% of those who voted last time round did vote yes. Eilis Mulroy is a spokesperson for the pro-life campaign and she joins me on the line. Eilis, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you keeping today?
Eilis, I was kind of shocked at these figures. I didn't think the numbers were that high, but they certainly are. And for a lot of people who voted, by the way, who are pro-choice, they would say, well, they're women who are in desperate situations.
Yeah, I mean, I want to preface what we talk about today by saying to listeners that if you want, I mean, these figures are so staggering that I think sometimes, Niall, you know, people really find them hard to believe. And I find that even talking to my own contemporaries, friends and acquaintances, they just don't believe how significant and how breathtakingly high these figures are.
So what's that? Is that one in six pregnancies in Ireland now is terminated? Is that would that be roughly right? One in six?
In Ireland, currently, it's more like one abortion for every five live births, so one in six pregnancies.
Yeah.
The figures that have just issued from England are just slightly less than one in two pregnancies.
Wow.
So in England, in 2023, which is the latest figures and the figures we're discussing today, and there was 591,000 live births in 2023, but there was 277,970 abortions. So that's one abortion for every two live births in England and Wales. And by the way, Niall, that's the lowest number of births in England and Wales since 1977. And all of that information, listeners can find it very handily by just googling gov.uk abortion numbers. Mm-hmm. It's all there, and they are breathtaking figures, and really to give pause to the British government, and obviously the abortion numbers here, also staggering, over 60,000 abortions based on our information from Department of Health, from Parliament.
This is in the last 7 years since we voted for it, in 7 years.
Since 2019, when the abortion law came into effect. So these are really massive numbers, and if you compare, in Irish terms, if you compare the number of abortions with live births, our last abortion numbers here are 2024. In that year, there was 54,062 live births registered in Ireland, and in the same year, 10,852 abortions. So that's where you get your that staggering statistic of one abortion for every five live births. I mean, it really should. And I mean, you talk about, I know the question that you're putting to listeners today is whether they might have voted differently. I think the answer, whether you'll hear it from people who communicated to you or not today, is yes, many people would not have voted to repeal the Eighth Amendment if they felt that we were going to have this number.
Some people are delighted that they voted yes, and that's their choice, and they want to, that's what democracy is all about. But there are others who I've spoken to in the past on the air who said they felt they were kind of duped a little bit, because they focus very much on, you know, fetal abnormalities, rape, and those are a woman's life being in danger. And during the debates and arguments at the time, going back 8 years ago during the referendum in 2018, we spoke about those aspects of it, and people kind of didn't understand completely that they were voting for what was really a very liberal abortion regime, which was you don't have to actually have a reason up to 12 weeks. Obviously there is no reason, so a lot of it could be economic. A lot of it could be a situation where somebody just doesn't want to have a baby at that point in their life, or whatever it happens to be, which seems to be the main reason. I'm assuming that is the main reason for somebody wants to terminate a pregnancy. It's just not the right time in their life.
Well, if you look at the abortion numbers for 2024 in Ireland, and these notifications are published by the Department of Health every June, the abortions are categorised in accordance with what section of the legislation they were carried out under. And in 2024 in Ireland, under the early pregnancy, which means up to 12 weeks for without having to give any reason, 10,711 abortions happened. So, you know, for people who voted for the very hard situation, the risk to life from pregnancy, the life-limiting condition, which, you know, the really tough scenario of a life-limiting condition of the unborn child, that's not what's happened. And if you look at Britain, it's the exact same, where you have the vast majority of abortions are carried out underground C. So in Britain, it's underground C, ground E. In Ireland, we have sections of the Act. And the vast majority of abortions in Britain are carried out underground C. So it's the same thing. And I you know, a lot of it's got to do with the whole thing we've talked about before, which is, you know, when the law changes, kind of, you know, behaviour changes, it influences people's decision making. But it's certainly not for the so-called hard cases. And every child, no matter what their prospects are, their prognosis, deserves a chance to life, of course. But I'm just saying, for people who felt that they were doing it for those very tough situations, that's not what's come about. And that's why we're seeing a certain amount of kind of buyer's remorse from both voters, from people who are getting in touch with us, from members of the Oireachtas, who kind of realise it's gone too far. And the British figures, or the England and Wales figures, to be more precise, that have issued, which show such vast numbers of abortion, really show it's time for everybody to kind of take stock of what's happening and really try to bring about some kind of change. I noticed that the Royal College of Obstetricians in Britain responded to the latest abortion figures, and one of the things that, you know, their president was quoted as saying is that there's a range of factors behind the rise in abortion rate, but one of them that she mentioned was the economic pressure and the rising cost of living. And if that's the case, Niall, we really have to do something to deal with that, and it's something that we call for every year. No woman.
But it's in the constitution. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It should be it is constitutional, isn't it? That women shouldn't. No, also the famous line that we tried to change last year in the referendum, that we shouldn't have to go to work to necessitate the raising of a child, etc., etc., etc. In other words, nobody should be in a financial position where if they find themselves pregnant, they can't afford it. Nobody should be in that position.
Well, for sure, but there's lots of things that the government can do to assist in that regard. And you know, we work all the time calling for that, for, like, you know, childcare benefits, for even the communication of the existing supports to people. And that's one of the problems in Ireland, that women who are in unplanned pregnancy who ring the My Options government-funded helpline, they aren't told about what even the existing supports are that might help them to make that decision to continue their pregnancy. So there's a whole lot of areas where the government really has to take responsibility for this. And, you know, it's not economically viable to continue to have a situation where such a huge number of babies are never being born. And from a whole load of point of view, a public policy point of view, this needs to be looked at.
Well, we do have a problem with population in this country. We're below population replacement level, and this is another factor that's causing that problem. Alice, just stay with me for a second. I want to go to AJ Walsh, who, from what I remember rightly, AJ was quite outspoken at the time in relation to pro-choice. And I'm assuming, AJ, you wouldn't change your mind, even based on the figures that I've just read out. You wouldn't change your mind and change your vote now?
No, I definitely wouldn't, Niall. And I just kind of, when I first saw the topic that you were running today, I thought to myself, are we really going to put limits on numbers and limits on the amount of people that can seek abortions? And are we really going to say why or why not someone can go and get an abortion? That's not what we were voting for. What we were voting for was giving people the right to choose, the right to have the choice whether or not they want to continue with the pregnancy. And that's what we were voting for, not telling people
why or why they can. The argument is some people believe we were a little bit duped, because at the time the figure that was quoted was kind of 3,500 women per year went to England. God knows, maybe some did go to America, I don't know, but went to England to have a termination. Oh sure, that the sky is not going to fall in, that figure's not going to get any bigger. But here we are, and we're now up to 10,852, which is 84 times that figure.
Another question though that I'd ask,
address that question first. I mean, why has it risen so much?
Well, what I was going to say is, were women prior to this actually going underground and having, you know, doing other things, buying stuff online and trying to do home abortions, that kind of thing? Was mm-hmm. there a massive figure there? And maybe could that be accounting for some of the increased figures? There's no doubt that, yes, more people are going to be having abortions because there is the option, so they don't feel the taboo that they used to, or, you know, the hassle of having to go to the UK. It is a possibility to get it done here. And so I suppose there will be an increase just with that, just with the fact of actually, do you know what, I can actually make this choice. So there's less unwanted pregnancies going ahead, less people being forced to continue with their pregnancy. So that will increase the numbers. And then I definitely think that there is going to be numbers there of people that would have before done
bought
something
stuff online,
really something at home, and you know, something really, really quite dangerous and really tragic.
Well, that's a fair question. Just let me put that to Eilish if I can. Eilish, you know, we kind of argue over this figure of 3,500 that suddenly went to 10,000, right? But those who are pro-choice would argue, well, maybe that was happening all along anyway, and those women were, you know, purchasing, you know, abortion tablets online, which can be purchased online illegally, can I find out, and I wouldn't recommend anybody do it, but they are buying them online, and they can buy them online, and they probably were.
So if you're talking about the situation prior to repeal of the Eighth Amendment, the abortions of Irish women on Britain at that time was 2,879. Taking into account the figures that were put before the Oireachtas Committee by the pro-choice side, Abigail Aiken at the time, was an approximate figure of 1,000 for women accessing pills. And even accepting that figure, you're still talking about the 3,500 or short of 4,000 women.
But I'm curious, Eilish, how you come up with that figure of 1,000. Maybe it could have been more. I mean, we kind of don't know. Nobody's going to admit it.
But that figure was, I can only take, but that was the figure that was put before the government.
That was a guess,
by the pro-choice side, not by the pro-life side.
No, I'm aware of that.
But in any event, I think it's interesting that we're talking about the dangers of taking medication at home, because many people mightn't be aware that of these abortions in England and Wales that have been produced, 72% of those abortions, over 200,000 of the abortions that happened in 2023 in England and Wales, were the woman was taking both medication at home. Mm. Okay, so that's telemedicine abortion.
But that was
AJ's right. That would be under the supervision of a health professional. So they would have gone to a health professional to get them prescribed, not online, not some bogus company. You know?
But there's still abortions that are carried out at home.
To be fair, Eilish, they're still under the supervision of a doctor. It's not like they're sitting. It wouldn't be practical to sit in the doctor's office and wait for it to happen.
A freedom of information request, which was sent to all the NHS trusts across England on this topic, found a significant increase in the number of women calling an ambulance, having taken abortion pills at home, and an increase in ambulance dispatches. That is a fact. And the reality is that we've been calling for years for a telemedicine abortion to be discontinued, because telemedicine abortion, having a woman have a consultation over the phone, means there could be all sorts of things happening. She could be coerced. We know that there has been medical implications where a woman in Limerick presented to Limerick Hospital having taken, after having not had an ultrasound, and had and nearly lost her life because of an ectopic pregnancy. So, you know, telemedicine abortion as a concept, it means that a woman is not supervised physically in person. And I get that telemedicine has been really significant in many areas of life.
Let me go back to AJ if I can. AJ, we have a problem. And the problem we have is that one in six, are in and around that approximately, one in six pregnancies in this country ends up in termination of pregnancy. In the UK, it's much higher. It's one in three, I think, Eilish was pointing out, for every one, two are born. I mean, that's a serious problem at a time when Ireland's population is depleting and we're below the replacement level. And that's because this choice is available. And some people will argue that this choice... And I mean, I had a campaigner, AJ, on the show at the time. And she was... She wouldn't even refer to it as an unborn child. She called it a zygote at one stage, or an embryo. I don't know. She used some sort of technical, biological term. And 2 years later, that same woman was on Facebook. I just happened to spot her on Facebook. She had got married, and she was expecting her first child, and she put a scan up, and she said, my new baby is coming into the world. And I went, oh, all of a sudden, it's now a baby. But when she
that scan was probably a lot later on than a lot of these.
It was her first scan. What's that, 12 weeks, 11 weeks was the first scan?
12 weeks.
So all of a sudden, her first scan is now a baby, but 2 years previously, she spoke to me during the campaign and called it a zygote or a clump of cells. So isn't it always a case of because it's just because it's not wanted? If it's not wanted, sure, call it what you want.
I do see where you're coming from, but I just think that maybe at that point you're talking about a much earlier on abortion rather than, you know, anything up to 12 weeks or beyond. Mm-hmm. You're talking about something within the first couple of weeks, which at that point, there's no set time that anybody says, okay, that's a person now. And I don't think anybody's ever agreed on what stage of your gestation, of your pregnancy, that's a person now. Nobody has ever agreed on that. So that's why it's really difficult, I think,
It depends on which side of the argument you're on, I suppose, doesn't it?
At the time, yeah. I suppose it does. But there's no agreement over that. So I think that's why we can't put specific names and numbers on things. We just have to... We're still sort of navigating ourselves through something that's very murky. And that's why I find it... I do actually find it difficult to talk about this when I feel one kind of way and somebody else feels another kind of way, because there is no definition in it. There is nothing definitive. It's still just so murky. And that's like what you said there. She's calling it a zygote or a cell or a clump of cells. And then all of a sudden she's calling it a baby. It's just all just murky waters that we're working in. And I just think at the end of the day, the reason that we voted in to have abortion in this country was to give people options and choice and to move away from the images of, you know, the Magdalene laundries and all of that, and like babies being taken away and teenagers having babies in bathrooms and stuff like that. And it's to move us into, you know, the modern times. And I think that's what it's about. And it's about giving people autonomy over their bodies, and to have to then give reasons and put numbers and do all of this. I think it's very difficult to do, even with the statistics that you're working off. It's still very difficult. And to say, oh, there was 1,000 people bought pills to have an abortion at home, I think that's very difficult, because you can't monitor something like that. Where are they buying these pills? We don't know all of the websites. We can't monitor all of that.
That's probably still happening too, by the way. There are probably still people buying pills online too. I imagine, Eilish, that is still the case. There still are probably women buying pills online and not actually going to the doctor.
Well, in Ireland, Niall, abortion is the taxpayer is paying for abortion, which many people feel is deeply unfair.
Well, that's because they believe it's, you know, it's reproductive health.
Well, my point is, I suppose, that in Ireland right now with telemedicine abortion, a woman doesn't have to see a doctor, which is very, very troubling if a woman is in a kind of an abusive situation or a coercive situation. But just going back to what AJ said about you've kind of proven the point about the hard cases. You start, you know, talking about kind of some of these tough situations in the past. The reality is that the vast majority of abortions are not those hard cases. And in England, 98% of the abortions that happened, over 270,000 abortions, they were underground C, which is kind of the wider ground and not the hard cases. But look, let's talk about the hard cases on the other side. The children whose lives are ended because they have a disability, the unborn children. And in England, there were 735 unborn children's lives ended in 2023 because they had Down syndrome. And some of those would have been 50 of those. In fact, we have the exact figures because the English Department of Health and Social Care keeps very good statistics. We know that 50 of those unborn babies whose lives were ended because they had Down syndrome came from Ireland in 2023. And, you know, I know, again, AJ, you're talking about lots of the early abortions, but the reality is that many of these abortions are late-term abortions. So they're after 24 weeks, and all of us know of babies who've been born very prematurely, and they are definitely people and human beings deserving of the right to life. In England in 2023, there was 300 late-term abortions for babies with disabilities. So that was 24 weeks or over, and some of them children with Down syndrome. So I think, you know, we can talk about the
okay,
kind of
wait, just wait, because I've a lot of people
to
get
to. Reality of this.
Okay, but I want to just go back to AJ very quickly on that. I mean, you heard that figure there, you know, 350 babies, you know, Down syndrome. They would have been late-term abortions. AJ, that fits into your category. When we decide that, you know, something is a life, no matter what way we argue about it, we've all been in a situation where we know somebody who had a baby, you know, that ended up in an incubator at 23 weeks. A friend of mine actually had twins, and they both ended up in an incubator at 23 weeks. They're fine now, they're 7 years of age, and they're perfectly rounded human beings. But they were tiny, tiny little lives. And, you know, there were abortions happening at the moment, AJ, beyond that point. Do you think is that acceptable?
For me, it's I personally would never dream of it. And for me, I feel, yes, that is too far along. Personally, that's what I feel. But I just don't think that anybody can be forced to use their body to support another life if they don't want to. And it's their choice. And that's what I've said from the start.
So, but where do you draw the line on that, AJ? Okay, so nobody can be used to support another life. By the way, it's only women. So only women shouldn't be forced to support another life. But where do you draw the line of that? Recently, they wanted to decriminalise abortion in this country, which would take away the time limit. So do you think a woman should be allowed to have an abortion at 40 weeks? If she wants to. I know you wouldn't do it. But if she wants to.
I don't think so. No, I don't.
Well, okay, so you put a limit on it then.
I know. This is what I mean. It's just murky. I don't know. Like, where do you draw that line? So at 21 weeks there, and then... At 21 weeks, they're not, and then at 22 weeks, they are. I just don't know. And that's a question I can't actually answer. And this is going back to what I said before of it's just so murky, because I do believe so strongly in autonomy and the right to choice, the right to choose. But I don't know how to answer that question because I don't know where to draw that line.
Okay, well, just before I come to our next caller, stay there, AJ. I want to come to Alan in a second. But Eilish, just to give you a final point if you want to make in relation to those figures that were released.
Well, really, Niall, I think the main thing, if we're a genuinely compassionate society, we should be offering help and support to families and to women, no matter what their situation. It shouldn't be the case that, you know, abortion, especially in the case of disability, it shouldn't be that it's a default response to that a woman should have an abortion. And we've been calling on the government to take steps to ensure that no woman feels abortion is the only option, either in any unplanned pregnancy and also, of course, in case of where diagnosis of disability. And we'll renew that call today and encourage others to do so too. You know, everybody, every child, regardless of their ability, deserves the chance to live, and every mother deserves support and not a system that encourages ending human lives. We're going to keep trying to put that message out there for as long as we can, and thanks for covering the topic, and it's really important to cover it. Thank you for doing that today.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Eilis Mulroy from the spokesperson for the Pro-Life Campaign, thank you for joining us. AJ, stay with us. I want to come to Alan straight after the break. Thank you, Eilis. And I'm going to go to short break. Let's dance.